Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I know somebody that owns a shoring business, and they are the people that generally get called when buildings collapse in the city. So they had a pretty active December, January. Leslie Harris joins us now, New Orleans City Council member, to talk about what happened with building collapses. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I got to ask about the puppies. How are they?
They're great. They enjoyed the snow.
Might I remind you, Yonder Oath?
They loved it. Okay. Well, one loved it. The other one didn't.
Might have loved the snow. I don't know about eating the pillows on the couch. Tell me about building collapses, because it seems as though they kind of came in spurts, huh?
Yeah. District B had three building collapses in the last 3 months or so, all for different reasons, we think. And all in different states of repair. One was completely blighted. One had a responsible owner. One was about to undergo renovation, and they all collapsed. And so yesterday at the Quality of Life meeting, a joint meeting with Economic Development, we discussed how we can prevent buildings from falling in the future, including engaging a structural engineer to advise us on the best policies to ensure that buildings aren't falling, aren't endangering people. But we know that the city, which is a historic city, has a lot of blight and has a lot of buildings that are in danger of collapse.
So was it just coincidence that, I guess I'm trying to figure for commonalities and trying to find cause and effect, was it just coincidence that we had three of these in for different reasons in such a close time period, or is this something that you're looking to keep happening, I guess, the question?
Well, hopefully it doesn't keep happening, but yeah. I think that we can look at the similarity between building collapse and also trees collapsing. So we know that we had a drought during the summer before last, and then we also have a lot of rain and moisture. And because of this, this is what the Preservation Resource Center said yesterday during the hearing. We're having buildings that are expanding and the materials are failing sometimes. We know we have termites here in the city. But the three buildings that collapsed for entirely different reasons. And so, again, that's why we need a structural engineer to tell us the best practices going forward to make sure, again, that we preserve the historic character of our city, but at the same time ensure that buildings aren't falling on people.
Did I see one story that was rotting, was covered up with plaster or something? Or tell me, a stucco, what happened there?
Yeah, so that was the building downtown. That building is in the hands of responsible owners. They were doing some renovations. And in the past, one of the methods for preserving brick was to add some brick coverage to it. And when that happens, the coverage stands, but the bricks behind it deteriorate. And that's the reason for the collapse that happened downtown. The collapse that happened on Magazine Street, there were four buildings that had been in a fire behind it. And we don't know if that somehow impacted the building that collapsed on Magazine Street. And the building that collapsed on Aretha Castle Haley just had an irresponsible owner, had several citations, and was in a deteriorating condition when it collapsed.
I hear a lot of different things there. I don't know how you, so when it comes to inspection by the city, and people are texting and asking about that, does the inspection office by the city enter into any of this at all, or could any of this been prevented by inspection, or was it all, pardon me, according to code and just happened, or do you know?
So So, again, they do after-action reports. The building on Magazine Street, the one that was about to be under renovation, had to submit a permit to be renovated. But we learned yesterday that when those permits are submitted, nobody goes into the interior of the building. The structural review happens on paper. And so that is a big red flag that the structural review happens on paper rather than somebody actually going inside the building. Again, the one that happened downtown, there were engineers on site when it collapsed. So, again, there's no real commonality other than we know that the environmental factors are here, moisture, drought, blight, and then also we think about trucks and vibrations that happen with all the street repairs that can also impact these buildings.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. We'll talk about Super Bowl preparations and also about the homeless situation. It is 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:55 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. It's interesting about those building collapses. Hard to find commonalities, but they did happen. And Leslie, they did happen in a pack, and we might go 10 years without another one, right? I mean, that's pretty much what you've determined?
Hopefully, yeah. But here's the thing. We need to make sure that it doesn't happen again, which is why we passed this resolution to engage a structural engineer to advise us on best practices. The commonality is that the buildings are all old, right? But we have a lot of old buildings in New Orleans, and we just need to make sure that they aren't falling down while we preserve the historic character of our city.
Let's talk about the homeless population in Orleans Parish, a center that the governor opened. And what's the situation on the streets? And I mentioned I rode around this weekend, and I really did all over the place, but I did it in Jefferson Parish. I didn't do it in Orleans Parish, and I was looking at just different stuff because I like to ride around on the weekends. I'll get to Orleans Parish this weekend. Tell me what the situation is, Councilmember.
Well, right now we know that there are about 170 people at the Governor's Transition Center. We know that the city's low barrier shelter is full. Ozanam Inn is full as well. We will have a point in time count, which happens yearly, to tell us exactly how many people are street homeless. That includes the counts in the shelters. You know, what we're hearing is that from the Governor's Transition Center, only two people have been housed. And so my concern is that there aren't services on site to get people housed at the pace that we were housing people through the city program. And so, again, I'm here to work with the governor, not against the governor. We will do everything we can to partner with them to make sure that people are getting housed in safe housing rather than being in a shelter situation.
So are there people, I've not driven around, are there still people out on the streets in Orleans Parish?
Yeah. Yes, there are. What we're hearing is that people are leaving that transition center. Some are going into adjacent neighborhoods. I have a friend who happened to have someone who left the transition center and they ended up on his grandma's porch. So we know that there are still going to be people who are street homeless. And again, we will do outreach and everything we can to get them into either shelter or into permanent supportive housing with services to make sure that they are stable, mentally stable, able to get jobs and move forward with their lives.
So are you talking to GOSEP or the governor's office, and are they planning any more action ahead of the Super Bowl, or do you know?
You know, we were just now included in those conversations. I asked a couple weeks ago to be included. On Monday, my chief of staff was included in those conversations. I will continue to ensure that our staff is included so that we understand what the governor intends to do. But I have not had a direct conversation with the governor.
Any final thoughts, Councilmember, about the Super Bowl coming and the security measures put in place and so forth?
Yeah, I think we're going to be super secure. What I would encourage your listeners to do is look on social media to make sure they know what streets are closed, because we know that downtown's going to be jumping and there are going to be a lot of street closures.
See, I like the way you put that, because you give me the sugar with the medicine, because you say there's going to be street closures, but that's because why?
It's jumping.
It's going to be jumping. Downtown's going to be jumping. That's exactly right. And get out and enjoy it safely. Thank you, Leslie. I appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
All right, good luck with the dogs. Downtown's going to be jumping, y'all. 8:59, we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk to Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies, about the oil and gas industry